Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. So nice to see you all today. What a beautiful day it is. I tell you what, it's funny, the temperature outside and the dynamics of the weather, it's sad, but it has a big influence on who's here week to week. And today's a sunny day, and I'm so happy that you all chose to be with us today. God bless you all. I hope you all had a good week. I know I did. I got to visit my mom and my sister, as you know, is just coming out of the coma in Michigan, and she's been in there for a month now, and I'm pleased to say that she started coming out of it this last couple days that we were with her. And so today they're even contemplating maybe taking the feeding tube out of her. Praise the Lord. She had West Nile virus, for those who didn't know. We've been praying about her for quite some time, and we thought for a while there it was looking pretty bleak, but hopefully God is pulling her out of this. And you know, it was funny because we was there and she was a little bit responsive, but Amy reminded me that the brain is actually an interesting thing. That the talking side of your brain is different than the singing side of the brain. So we put up some music, some Marvin Gaye up there, up to her ear. And guess what? She was dancing in that bed, man. That was such a joy to see. And thank you all for your continued prayers in that regard. And I know that some of you also traveled, Dan and Roger and Debbie also traveled to Indiana, I believe, and you were blessed by the Wesleyan Church. But well, it's so good to get out and see family every now and then, and it was good for us too. Reminder today, after our church service today, we're going to have a what we call a mini potluck downstairs, and that's precluding we're going to have a business meeting thereafter. So everybody is invited to join us at the mini potluck downstairs. I hope you will consider doing that, because that's also time of fellowship. In this church, right after the services, a lot of times we'll go downstairs and we'll share popcorn and soda pop and what's going on in each other's life. Because, you know, church is more than just hearing a sermon. No. Church is the church family. That's what church is. And so fellowship with each other is so, so vitally important. So I encourage you to participate in that. And then also on Wednesdays and Sundays now that we're going to have those evening services there too. So it gives you three different opportunities to have fellowship with the church family. Well, today's sermon message is called Triumph in Times of Trouble. Triumph in Times of Trouble. Have you experienced any times of trouble lately? Anybody? A couple of you? Yeah. It's not fun, is it? But with God's word, God's will, God's love, and God's spirit, we can triumph in times of trouble. And that's what we're going to talk about. I like what the old, you remember Pastor Robert Schuller? Anybody remember him? Robert Schuller from the televangelists? Yeah. It's not that him and I agreed on everything, but he sure was dynamic in a lot of things. He used to preach in what was called the Hour of Power. Anybody watch that? Yeah, a few of you, sure. One of the things that he said on occasion, which was very inspiring, he'd say, "Tough times never last, but tough people do." Do I sound like him? A little bit, maybe? Yeah, tough times never last, but tough people do. Isn't that a great quote? I visited one time Schuller's Crystal Cathedral. It's a beautiful building, just with all kinds of glass all over the outside and the inside of the building. It's a beautiful, beautiful offering. But I love the old quote that he has here, and others too. And I'm sure millions have taken comfort in that quote through the years. Tough times never last, but tough people do. And most assuredly goes along with our message here today. Well, last week, as we're going through this book of Acts, we talked a little bit about jealousy and the damage that it causes both to the church and as believers. The Jews, as written at the end of chapter 13 of Acts, were jealous as Paul and Barnabas were getting a lot of attention and lives were being saved. And as I said last week, jealousy never brings satisfaction. Jealousy never brings satisfaction. The best way to find true contentment is to find it only in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that God is our provider. He is our healer, our comforter. He is our source of peace, our joy, and our satisfaction. There is nothing in the world can satisfy us like Jesus Christ. And I hope you believe that. So please turn in your Bibles there to Acts 14, starting at verse 1. It's on page 980 of the Pew Bibles, which I call the inspired and the infallible living Word of God. But first, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your message here. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that your word you've given us, Lord, this precious word, so that we can know you, so that we can understand your ways and your will for our lives. And Lord, I ask that you be with us here today. Take the scales off our eyes, open our hearts, and allow us to put away the cares of this day so that we can understand a little bit more of what you have for us here today. Lord, we love you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm glad that you're all here. Let's start here in Acts 14, and we'll read 1 through 7. And in the Pew Bibles there, it's called Growth and Persecution in Iconium. Verse 1 says, in Iconium, they entered the Jewish synagogue as usual and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they stayed there a long time and spoke boldly for the Lord, who testified to the message of his grace by enabling them to do signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided, some siding with the Jews and others with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they found out about it and fled to Lycaonian towns of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding countryside. There they continued praying and preaching the gospel. So that's God's word. So let's dig a little bit deep. In our text here, we see that it is now a pattern between you see what you saw in 13 and now 14. You see, there's a pattern of Paul and Barnabas to first go to the synagogues and preach as they traveled. They wanted to preach to the people who first knew God and who would accept them as coming out of Israel. That's what they started to do. Every place that they visited, they would visit first the synagogue. And just like in the previous towns, the Jewish were stuck in a state of what used to be. They were stuck in their own ways. A lot of them didn't like Paul and Barnabas coming in and teaching the new way. Even though they were waiting for a Messiah and Paul and Barnabas was preaching to them who this Messiah is, they weren't prepared to receive it. They were stuck. Paul and Barnabas isn't going to give up on them. Despite all the ridicule and trouble that the Jews were continuing to bring, they didn't give up on them. He said, Paul's gospel, he continually gave them a gospel-filled sermon that was raw in its content. He didn't hold anything back either as he gave it, and he continues to bring the unadulterated truth of the Bible to them there in this town and even the Jews. But the Jews were stuck in their old traditions. They didn't want to give them up. They didn't want to give up their ways. They didn't want to give up their traditions. And they didn't want to give up the authority that they thought they had as being the ones that were set aside. Now Paul and Barnabas was not only preaching to them, but he was also preaching to the Gentiles. How dare they? We are the chosen people. But no, they're preaching to everybody. So a lot of those Jews, especially those in power, didn't like it. We as a church should, though, take heed of this example of ourselves, not getting stuck as the Jews did in the past. We too easily can become stuck in the past. Now we have a church here, we're getting ready to celebrate 175 years of this church being in existence. This building was put here as according to that newspaper article here, this last edition, have been here over 100 years. This very building that you're in right now, lots of history. Look at the stained glass, beautiful stained glass, lots of history. But we can't get stuck in the past. I'm not at all, though, suggesting that we should forget the past or not honor the past. We should. However, traditions and rituals should never, ever trump the needs of the current flock or the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. Again, I love history. I'm a student of history and culture. However, we should learn from our past and honor the past, but don't get stuck there. Romans 12:12 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that renewing of your mind mechanism is not a once and done thing. We need to be receptive to the needs of the congregation and also what the Holy Spirit is leading us. He says, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing, perfect will. So as we remain guarded and grounded in God's word, we should strive to continually be renewed to meet the current needs of this congregation and the expectations of the people that we're striving to bring in to make new disciples. As soon as you stop doing that, they won't come no longer. There's no reason for them to come. It's not anything that they enjoy. So I'm not saying that we have to entertain. I'm not saying that at all. But we have to be responsive to the Holy Spirit guiding us on how to best meet their needs. And all this done is supposed to be done with much prayer and counsel, never sacrificing or compromising God's word or His gospel message as we go. In our verses today, the Jews rejected the gospel. And we all know folks who have rejected Jesus, and it's sad. It's sad. Either you are with Jesus or you're against Jesus. He said this himself in Matthew 12:30. He said, "Whoever is not with me is what? Against me." Yeah. "Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters." Which one are you? I would say most of you are with him, and you're here. That's why you're here. As we have discussed in last week's message, the Jews were jealous and they were stirring up the people. Here it says they are poisoning their minds, even poisoning their minds. They are causing division and starting quarrels. Now, it doesn't say that they were shouting from the rooftops and all their efforts to keep people away, but they were probably instead going around whispering lies, What's that old saying on that commercial? It said, "If you want to get someone's attention, whisper." Yeah. These people were probably going around to those people who were of influence and whispering to them lies and bad tidings to the other people. Unlike today, they didn't have Facebook or Twitter or Instagram where we throw it all out there. But the social media mechanism still in those days was very powerful, very powerful. I remember when we first started going to this church here in a school in Orion. Talking about a powerful social mechanism, the mom's network. I tell you what, my girls couldn't hardly scratch their head without my wife hearing it by some mom within the network. Yeah, this network is important. And social networking is important if it's used for the right reasons. But these people were not using their social network for the right reasons. Proverbs 26:20 is a great example, applicable verse, as it reads, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarrelers cease." Isn't that interesting? Where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. And again, that's Romans 26:20. I think you guys should all write that one down. I guess we see it. It happens all the time. Sometimes I think verses like this should be even put up on the church walls because we need to be reminded about it daily. But it is tough sometimes to know when to speak up and when we shouldn't. When we should speak up and when we shouldn't. And I tell you, I even have a challenge with this. And if it wasn't for my dear wife, Amy, I'd probably be in a whole heap of trouble. But I found a little self-examination that we might consider in this regard. There are four simple questions that we could ask ourselves when it comes time to giving feedback. One, is it necessary? Would life still go on if you chose not to speak it? Two, is it encouraging? Does what you have to offer bring hope or despair? I think we ought to take this and show these to our kids and rules for Facebook, perhaps. What do you think? Three, will it edify? Will it edify? Is it beneficial to the person that you're talking about? And finally, four, will what you have to say dignify the other person? Does it enhance their image or reputation in the minds of others? I hope you appreciate, like me, the mechanisms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I don't really get Twitter and Instagram, but I use the Facebook thing a lot. Thank goodness I have my daughters to help me navigate those waters. And I can't tell you how many times it says, "Dad, you recognize you just retweeted something with the name of the church instead of your own. I'm like, oh, I don't know what the heck. I don't know what I'm doing. But respect it and use it as a tool to further not only our ministry, but your own personal ministry as well. Go through these rules. And if it doesn't satisfy those rules, then pause. Maybe talk to somebody else about it and see if that's a good thing to put out there. A lot of times now I'll put it out there first with only, you know, only I can see it. And then I'll ask him, Amy, Karen, is this okay? What do you think? And then, nope, got to scratch it. It's not good. So it's not edifying. It's not beneficial. You're causing upstirring. Okay, so I'll take it down. It hurts. But I do. I listen to that good, wise counsel that I have there. And if you guys see something I put out there that's not appropriate or not timely or hurtful in respect, please let me know privately. Privately. If what you want to say doesn't meet that test, then maybe you should consider not saying it all. I remember when I was a boy, my mom telling me over and over and over again, if you can't say nothing nice, what is it? Oh, you've heard that one, have you? Yeah, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. It all can be wrapped up in that one little saying. Don't become a whisperer. Don't fuel the audience with negative talk. And stay away from poisonous or destructive type and actions when you happen to come upon them. Back away. Don't get involved. Don't get stuck. Don't get pulled in, as many people want you to do. Paul and Barnabas were sharing the truth of God's word, and the naysayers are causing an uprising, it says. And as a result, the people of the city were divided. Critical speak creates divisions, and it confuses the people. It fuels chaos, and we know who the author of chaos is, don't we? Satan, the devil, yeah. When we find ourselves in the middle of these types of situations, when we become part of the problem, it cripples our intimacy with God, both individually and as a church. And on the other hand, if we otherwise stop spreading whisperers, if we stop it in its traps, we put it out the fire and stay away from conflict, that's when things turn around. You're giving it the opportunity to turn around, to heal, to reunite the flock or maybe your family. How many of you have experienced trouble in your life because of whisperers? Anybody? Yeah, anybody? Yeah. Today, this world we live in is being rocked and shattered because of sin, hate, division, conflict, and confusion. You feel it? It is the devil's playground. It is the devil's work. We should strive not to be part of it. Would you agree? This is our church, ladies and gentlemen, and it's intended here to be a holy safe zone. That's another sign I want to put on the outside of the church. Safe zone. Wouldn't that be wonderful? There is no room here for whispers and division. Instead, we should want to create an atmosphere here where people feel safe and loved. Are you with me on that? Will you come along my side and let's do that? So how do we, though, triumph in times of trouble? Because we will all experience trouble. That's a guarantee. If you haven't, I'm going to hang with you. But no, we all experience trouble at times. How can we triumph in times of trouble? As a Christian, when we choose to trust God in times of trouble, we triumph. We are more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ. I love that song. We are more than conquerors in Christ. No, not that. Paul and Barnabas, in their situation, they remained calm. And even they exhibit grace in their times of trouble. They just continued to preach the gospel, believing that God had the upper hand and was watching over them. And as a result, God then graced them with in their stressful situation with the ability to even heal people and perform miracles. You see how that happened? First they trust, then God rewarded them, graced them, help them out in their time of need. That's how God works a lot of times. They triumphed in their time of trouble, and we can do the same if we first trust God. So here are a couple thoughts for you to consider. Number one, who you are is more important than what you are going through. Who you are is more important than what you're going through. Verse 3 says that they remained. They stayed the course. God sometimes uses troubles and trials to develop our character. Maybe to clean you up or humble you even. I know sometimes I need a good humbling. I don't know about you guys, but I need a good humbling. And it prepares you for what is ahead even. You may not see it, but God knows what you're going to be going through. He's equipping you for the times ahead. Persevering through problems is when we grow the most, because we are in a position that causes us to trust God the most. Like Adeline read earlier from Romans 5, Paul said, "We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." They trusted God in their time of trouble. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths..." Anybody know this one?
Straight.
Straight. Yeah. Yeah. "Submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." There's an old term, it's called Occam's razor. You know, I got that from Jim Greamy way back when. My friends knew, he was my mentor. And he said, Occam's razor. You may have not heard it, but it says that when you have many different paths to get to the same place, choose the one that is the most straight. And 90% of the time, it'll be the right one. Yeah. Trust your in all your ways, trust Him, and He will make your path straight. You are more important than what you are going through. In times of troubles and conflict, Satan wants you to break so you can serve him or you can't serve for Christ. Don't let Satan and his demons or his minions get the most of you. Stay the course, dear Christian. Stay the course. And finally, number two, whose you are is more important than what's happening at this point. Whose you are is more important than what's happening. If you are a Christ follower, then you are a child of God. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Well, follow me means abide in me and depend on me. Remember who you are in Him despite your circumstances through faith in Jesus Christ. With that understanding, then the things that we do in times of trouble should bring us to peace. You see, Jesus didn't say, "Be fishers first, then you will belong to me." No. He said, "Follow me first, and then the fishing begins." And He is responsible for the results, not you. We have been saved by grace through faith alone. That's one of my favorite sayings. We have been saved by grace through faith alone. Say it with me real quick. Saved by grace through faith alone. One more time. Saved by grace through faith alone. We belong to Him, and He belongs to us, and He will take care of everything else if you let Him. In our verses today, it says, "So they stayed there a long time and spoke boldly for the Lord, even though they were going through troubles." Paul knew whose he was. He had an unshakable confidence in the midst of his troubles. Paul was faithful to his calling, but he gave the results to God. Paul didn't dwell on his circumstance, and we shouldn't either. Just be faithful. The enemy of God, Satan, is thinking that if he can get you to dwell on your circumstances instead of God, then you won't be able to serve Christ in your circumstance. When we dwell on our troubles, we get stuck in our sorrow. Instead of triumph in times of trouble, then we fail. We fall. Don't let Satan win you over. Stay strong, dear Christian. This church here has been through many, many trials and over the 175 years, I'm sure. But I'm so pleased to see that even despite your trials, you didn't give up. You hung in there. You knew who and whose you really were. And you gave the results to God. For that I say, thank you. And I say, praise the Lord. So again, in summary, there are two keys for success in this regard. One, who you are is more important than the things you're going through. And whose you are is more important than what you are doing. And don't ever forget, tough times never last, but tough people do. You know, Robert Schuller had one other quote that I thought would be kind of neat to read. It says, this one's a little longer, never cut a tree down in the wintertime. Never make a negative decision in a low time. Never make your most important decisions when you are in your worst moods. Amen? Wait. Be patient. The storm will pass and spring will come. I get a little comfort in those words. Thank you there, Robert Schuller. But Jesus is our wellspring. Have you accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior yet? So we're going to close. Would you please rise? This is what we call an invitation. An invitation. And in that, if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your own, this is the time to do it. If you'd like to join the church, this is the time to do it. If you'd like to get baptized, if you haven't been believer baptized, that's a great experience and I invite you to do it. Or if you just want me to pray over you, please consider coming forward. Would you bow your heads? Father God, we ask your blessings to be upon us here now as we close our service. But this is an invitation, Lord. If it's in need at this juncture, I pray that you give someone the courage to step forward. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.